At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. This show is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/ElderScrollsLoreCast.
Robots Radio presents...
The Elder Scrolls Lorecast!
Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, a place where the Elder Scrolls community can come together to discuss the boundaries of our knowledge about the universe of the Elder Scrolls. I guess I need to turn my microphone on. Welcome, everybody, to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. I muted during the music part so we don't, you know, accidentally make sounds come through. And then I was, I didn't hit the unmute button. But hey, welcome, everybody. This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Welcome. I am your host, Tom, or Robots. And I am back, as usual, with my co-host, the Lotus of the Doom. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome, the Lotus.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
I am the Lotus, as opposed to just generic Lotus, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are the only Lotus of the Doom.
Oh, wow. All right. Mm-hmm. I'll accept.
Cool. There should be, you know what? We need to talk to some of the people behind Elder Scrolls Online and see if they can't put a special item somewhere in a storyline called the Lotus of the Doom.
So there is a quest that TES Online Official even responded to years ago, back when Elsewhere was the newest expansion, mm-hmm. where there's a town, without going too deep into spoilers, there's a town where one of the quest objectives is you have to take these flowers, and it says place lotus in river. And I was like, I feel personally attacked. So... I sent the screenshot to Elder Scrolls Online Official, and they responded with, don't think too much about it. It's like a soothing day at the spa. And it was just a gif of somebody being pushed underwater.
Nice. Nice.
Like, I think they're trying to kill me.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think this is one of those things that the Bethesda teams do. Somebody, again, just this last week posted a picture from Fallout 76 of Tom's robot dead on the ground. And that went around again. Everyone's like, look, I found BuddyBot. And I'm like, well, hopefully that's BuddyBot, not me.
No.
Yeah. BuddyBot, no. Yeah. Oh, man. So, you know what would be really funny is if on the next big expansion that he's fixed up and is like wandering around the countryside. Like, and
back
they pull
revenge.
Bethesda, you have 100% of my approval to take any of the voice lines, or just ask me to send in some voice lines for the BuddyBot robot to walk around the, just saying random stuff. That would be amazing. But anyway, this is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. We have been going through the different Aedra, the different divines, and I came across an article today that has inspired me to break from that and have kind of a different episode as we're getting closer to the end of the month. We have our patron episode next week, so we'll be doing that. And we've gone through the first three of the divines, and I decided, you know what? This post is amazing because I'm scrolling through some of the different subreddits that I like to visit, you know, the Elder Scrolls Online subreddit, Elder Scrolls Lore subreddit, and a user who goes by the name of SignalFlare12 posted a consolidated list of, and it says here, the life and current status of every named dragon, which I was just like, oh my God, this is awesome. Like, he actually did the work, and there's just kind of a short write up for each of them. So I was like, you know what, Lotus, I sent him a message earlier today. I'm like, screw it. Let's skip a divine today. Let's just talk about some of the life and times of the dragons, because, man, there's a lot of actual named dragons in the series, especially now that you mentioned Elsewhere. Like, we got a big dump, I guess you could say, of dragons in Elsewhere. So there's a whole bunch of them, and we're just going to see how far we can go today talking through these. It might take more than one episode, so this might be something that we come back to next week. Well, next week will be the patron episode. We'll probably do some more divines and then maybe come back to this again a little bit later. But I figured it would be a fun side project to kind of go through these. So these are listed in the article alphabetically, and I think that's the way we're going to take them. We're going to go through them alphabetically because most people have an understanding of who some of the basic main dragons are. So when we reference things like Alduin or Khal Grantid is one of the big ones in Elsewhere.
Right.
And we can mention a little bit more about
him. We'll see how many we can actually manage to dig ourselves through here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, some of them have some context that we can talk about, but others it's like
there's only a little bit
to say on them.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So. Right. So and the other thing that I thought Lotus would be so would be fun about this episode is attempting to pronounce the names.
Oh yeah, that's definitely my strong point, and not butchering every name in the series.
they have these dragons have the most ridiculous names. They're great, and sometimes they end up with like multiple vowels next to each other and sorts of weird stuff.
More often than not, I feel like they have multiple vowels next to each other.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? We should do a running list of like how many do or don't have a multiple vowel, like a repetitive vowel in it. I think most of them do. We'll have a list. Okay. So let's kick this off alphabetically with the first of the named dragons. And let's take turns trying to do these. You want to do the first one or should I do the first one?
Why don't you start it off? I'll set up my handy dandy list.
Okay. Well, you saw that the second one is Alduin, so you're gonna have an easy one there. So, okay. Perfect. The first one is Abilok.
Perfect.
Abilok, Abilok. And according to this post, it says, very little is known beyond what is told in the Atlas of Dragons. He has survived many attempts on his life and was thought to be lairing in Morrowind as of the Second Era. Status unknown. So
that's
we have
interesting.
Yes, we have a dragon that looks like it may still be somewhere in the world. If you open up the Elder Scrolls fandom page, there's a little bit more detail about him. Abilok was a dragon that survived extermination during the Dragon War and the Akaviri Crusades of the First Era. Sightings date back to the early years of the Akaviri Dragon Guard. He was reported to be active throughout the northern Ural Mountains. Multiple attempts were made to kill him, but all failed. He was eventually reported to have fled to Morrowind. And then it's got a little bit more. It says, Brarilu Theron, master enchanter and author of Twin Secrets, reportedly met a dragon in the, quote, smoking ruins of Vardenfell. However, it is unknown if this dragon was Abilok, as he refused to reveal his name. So this is kind of like a dragon that's been in hiding and
in
witness protection program for dragons,
which is sort of a thing that they did, which caused a lot of contention originally, where many people got kind of bent out of shape that dragons were appearing in the Second Era, and people were shouting about like, oh, this is lore breaking, there were no dragons in the Second Era. But the thing was, after the Dragon War, not all of the dragons were slain. Just like this, some went into hiding, and people tastefully edited around that at the time and were very upset about it. I don't believe there's actually that much blowback anymore about it, because people like Eremithius and stuff were able to point out the fact that it was like, they're not all dead. Plenty of them died during the Dragon War, but it's not just like they were all wiped out. And we never saw them again until Alduin showed up, because we'll actually even get to some that were in other games prior to Elsewhere being launched. So that again didn't fully add up to the way that people kind of made it seem like it did at the time. So this one apparently just had, like, it was brought up in chat, very high sneak skill.
High sneak skill dragon. Like, this guy's hiding out somewhere in Vardenfell. I don't know. I mean, the whole thing is basically a volcano. Is there a lot of underground area that isn't either occupied or used to be occupied? Or
maybe he could squish into a Dwemer ruin or something?
Yeah, full of lava. Maybe he found a Dwemer ruin and like covered up the entrance and is just kind of hoarding some treasure down there or something. You know, who knows? Like, could totally be a thing. All right, let's take turns on this. Why don't you take the second
one? All right. So the next one, I think anybody who knows anything about the Elder Scrolls will probably know, which is Alduin, the World Eater, meant to destroy the world and bring about the end times. A devourer of souls and one-time leader of the dragons before his banishment during the Dragon War. He returned through a time wound in the year 4E201 to reform his rule over the land and again wipe it out, killed but then this is the events of Skyrim.
Spoilers.
Elder Scrolls
spoilers.
Yeah.
So 10-year-old spoilers.
FYI, what I'm about to say is a spoiler if you didn't piece this together. At the end of Skyrim, the Dragonborn, you, the player character, kills him in Sovereignwrath, and it I'll just word it like this. Killed in Sovereignwrath by the last Dragonborn and a group of heroic Nord spirits, which are the ones who help you in the final battle, which is how Elder Scrolls V Skyrim technically ends. So his status is slain because he's dead.
Because he's dead. The World Slayer was slain. And we discussed this a little bit on one of the recent episodes, how maybe he was meant to fulfill that, and maybe we messed that up. Maybe the world has now extended beyond its actual expiration date, and
is this Kalpa dragging on too long?
Is it, you know, an unwanted extension in a way? And what does that mean?
Remains to be seen.
Yep. So yeah, we could probably go on for a long time about Alduin, but we're gonna hold off on digging more into him.
This is kind of us just being amused by this Reddit post more than anything else.
Yeah, but it's great.
This is via them.
It's what I didn't notice, or what I what this post helped me realize was how many named dragons we actually know about. That's the thing. Like, there are so many dragon. When you play Skyrim, there are so many dragons that are just like ice dragon. You know, red dragon, like, I don't remember the names of them, but like, they didn't actually have names. But then there were some in the game that had names because they were part of main storylines and main quests and things like that. But there were so many that were just generic that we didn't get names for. But it turns out that there's actually a bunch that we
do
have names for.
A lot of them do have names, right?
Yeah, yeah. All right. So next up we have, here we go. I'm going to spell it first and then I'm going to try and pronounce it. It's B-A-H-L-O-K-D-A-A-N. This is 2 out of 3 with double a vowel somewhere. Balakdan?
Beautiful.
Balakdan.
I'm not going to voluntarily say any of these dragon names that is not on my turn to say a dragon name.
Awesome. I'm kind of having fun with it, though, so I think I'm going to try all of them. So here, and most of these, you can tell they pull from the UASP article. So if we do pull some other stuff up, it's either things in the UASP that weren't mentioned here or things from some of the other wikis that do mention these details. So this one says, part of the rage of dragons that assaulted Elsweyr in the mid-second era, slain by the Elsweyr Defense Force and the Vestige while attacking the city of Riverhold, first dragon to be grounded by a dragon horn since the days of the original Dragon Guard. Status, slain. This was one of the dragons that you actually end up in Elder Scrolls Online dealing with. Wayworld Worldhopper is giving us translations here. Thank you. That's awesome. Pulls it up and says, Wrath Sky Doom is the translation for this one. And
perfect that you have those handy. Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And he is a Feld Grod Green Elder Dragon serving under Khal Grantid from ESO Elsweyr expansion. I love some of these wikis because they even talk about like what their combat stuff is, because you actually have to fight this one, and he has a flame aura, a sweeping breath, and unrelenting force. And you can actually even hear these dragons in ESO Elsweyr say things like "foos" when they're fighting you, which is pretty cool because they actually say the shouts. It doesn't just like do an attack. You actually hear them saying the shouts and the words, which is pretty cool.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
So I'm going to spell mine as well, as we have a translator in chat, which will really speed things along for us, which is greatly appreciated.
Yes.
And it'll at least let you have your own interpretation of how I say this, as opposed to, you know, or how it should be said as opposed to how I say it. So it is BOZIIKKODSTRUN, which would be Bozikrodon. Oh, good lord, that's so many letters. Bozikrodon. Bozikrodon. There we go. Bozikrodon.
Bozikrodon. Bozikrodon?
Yeah, Bozikrodon sounds good.
What's awesome about this name is it has two I's, so it has the double vowel. So this is what? Three with double vowels, one without.
Yes.
Alduin is the weird one, strangely enough.
So far.
And
two, it's got a double K.
It's got a double K. Yeah, I don't think there's any English words with double Ks, as far as I know.
So this dragon was tricked by Molag Bal into entering Cold Harbor, where he was tortured in an attempt to understand the power of dragons from Molag Bal's armies. Due to his defiance, his flesh was eaten from his bones, and his remains were magically used to make a Daedric Titan. So his status is transformed. He's not dead, he's just miserable, because... the Daedric Titans, which is a mini boss enemy that you would kind of encounter throughout Elder Scrolls Online, apparently this is the prototype for that creature. So that's a something I did not know prior to reading this. And where's our interpretation? good. All right, so it's bodily wield storm.
Yeah, so bold. Huh. Boldly wields storm.
Oh, bold. Oops.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, like
that,
storm wielder.
Boldly wields storm. That makes much more sense. So boldly wields storm.
Right.
Interesting.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, this poor guy was transformed into the first Daedric Titan by Molag Bal. So it says here in the UESP article, Bozikrodon, but I think I'm getting better at pronouncing these names.
I feel like that almost like sounded convincing right there. I like it.
Yeah. Bozikrodon's skeleton was taken to the Vile Laboratory, where it was infused with the blood of darkness in order to reawaken it as a vestige. Oh, poor guy. It can be assumed that this process was similar to this creation of the Soul Shriven. Shriven? Shriven?
I always say Shriven.
Shriven.
I don't know if it matters.
Yeah, it's like a I-V-E. So you think the E makes the I long?
I don't know. We're going to be tongue-tied so much this episode, you can just assume we're going to screw it up.
I'm going to purposely screw these up. The creation of the Soul Shriven. mortals who have their soul substituted with the vestige of a Daedra. Bal had the skeleton adjusted to his specifications. Then it was submerged in the Azure Chasm to allow it to reform in Creatia. So it goes on. It says within a nana eon. Wow, how much time is a nana eon? I don't know. Bozikrodon arose from the chasm as the first Daedric Titan and bounded nimbly up the endless stair. It was soon determined to be a powerful and new addition to Molag Bal's war slaves. Many more Daedric Titans were made in Bozikrodon's image and were released upon Tamriel during the Plane Meld of the Second Era. So, this guy was like a test subject. Like here's what it is. You guys watch Marvel movies, right? He was the Red Skull before we got Captain America. He was like
beautiful.
Molag Bal's super soldier trial.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. I'll allow it. That's a rough way to go.
That is a rough way to go.
It's a rough way to go.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. We got another short one here. Short on detail, not necessarily on pronunciation. So this is Dukaanfinsot. So Dukaanfinsot?
Yeah, Dukaanfinsot.
Dukaanfinsot.
That just sounds German.
Seize that man! Dukaanfinsot my car!
That just sounds me not knowing German and making up a word that sounds German.
Yeah, it does. I think it's the fact that it has lots of consonants all just kind of squished together, you know?
Yep.
So this one says, killed during the Dragon War, only his skull remains, status slain. And there's not a ton of information about him. If you look him up, if you do a search, he shows up for the Fallowstone Hall detail. And let me see, Dukan Finstrat. I don't know why that shows up, actually. Oh, because that's where his skull is. So yeah. Within the tomb are various relics from the past, accompanied by a plaque that describes their history. Dragon skull. And a trophy from the time of the Dragon War, said to be a beast by the name of Dukan Finstrat. So there you go. If you happen upon Fallowstone Hall and find a dragon skull, that's who you're looking at.
And our interpretation of, or our translation, I mean, from Wayward is dishonor the white.
I like that. Hey, you know what? We didn't do a translation for the first one, Abilak. So,
oh yeah.
Here's Abilak in chat. While you read the next one, I'll look it up, or Wayward will probably pull it up too.
So the next one is one that people will most likely know about if you've also played The Elder Scrolls Skyrim, which is Durnavir. Which Durnavir was tricked by the Ideal Masters into eternal service, unable to leave the Sol Caron for fear that he will be killed due to his body being attuned to it. Fought with the last Dragonborn and came to serve them in 4E201. His status is alive, but he's listed as trapped because, again, tethered to the Sol Caron. So,
alive but trapped.
Yeah. Interesting, because there's no, I don't know. I'd be curious to see if he was ripped apart. Well, not literally ripped apart, but ripped out of the Sol Caron, if he would survive or if he really is just tethered there permanently. So, but
yeah, that's
technically still around.
Yep. Yep.
Do you want to consider being in the Sol Caron alive?
I mean, yeah, yes.
Yes, ish.
Able to have self-awareness and do things? Does that count?
That's good enough.
Close enough? Yeah. Poor dragons, so many of them just end up with these terrible ends.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't, a lot of them before the Dragon War were pretty awful. So, I mean, I don't have too much sympathy for them, but then some of them, it's like, wow, eternal torment's a rough way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have the translation for Abilak. It looks like B-I-I doesn't really have a translation. So something along the lines of Sky Hunter.
Okay.
Or Rising Hunter. Something like that. Yeah. Nekomata says, hey, I kind of feel bad for them. Yeah. Now, yeah, next time you play Skyrim or elsewhere, the Elsewhere expansion, you're going to be like, do I really got to beat these guys up? They're having a sucky time.
Yeah. It's. I don't know. It's a rough one because, like I said, they were pretty miserable. But at the same time, it's like, man, some of the situations they're in, it's like, oof, maybe death would have been like better than what you're going through right now. So,
yeah. Yeah. So next one on the list, we've got Grahkrindrog. This is pronounced Grahkrindrog. Grahkrindrog. Yeah, so Grahkrindrog was killed by the Dragon Guard in the Second Era, 184, in retaliation for an attack. So this is another casualty of the events of Elsewhere in ESO. And let's see, I'm pulling up the fandom wiki here. It says, was a dragon that once resided in the province of Skyrim. It was killed during the Second Era in 184. It was responsible for a great deal of slaughter in the holds of Eastmarch and Winterhold. The name of this dragon was confirmed later with the help of the College of Winterhold. So, Grahkrindrog. Do we have a translation? Oh, here we go. Wayward Worldhopper has the translation with Battle Courageous Lord.
Ooh. Interesting. All right.
So,
yeah, apparently the USP just has the solution to this. No surprise there. Shout out to everybody over at the UESP providing this. The transitions for the dragons are at the bottom of the page, apparently.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. They're all down there. So this is interesting because battle, courageous, and lord, depending on the order of those words, could mean very different things.
That's true.
So like the courageous lord of battle, or... was he named after a battle? The Battle of the Courageous Lord?
Yeah. or is he a lord and he's just courageous in battle? Like,
yeah.
There's several different ways that that could be. Before we get too far removed from it, too, I realized we didn't actually translate Durnavir for everybody, which was Curse Never Dying, which is peculiar that he was named basically in a way that he was going to be permanently cursed. So either that's not his original name, or man, his dragon parents shouldn't have named him that, because self-fulfilling prophecy.
It was predictive. I bet it was a taken name. I don't know for sure. This raises questions, because I don't remember anything in the lore, and I don't have it all memorized by any means, but yeah. I don't remember anywhere in the lore of like a dragon taking a different name because of something, you know, like I feel that would stand out.
Yeah. So it's interesting. As it was brought up, the dragon language is essentially like spells. So
his parents should have known better.
Yeah, it's like
that's like naming your kid like gets picked on at lunch,
right?
You know, way and then you wonder why he doesn't have any friends to sit with at lunch, you know, like.
So oh boy, all right, what is next on the chopping block?
Why don't we do one more, right, and then we'll do our mid-show break, and then we'll come back and do some more.
Do our break. Actually, we might be able to get through all these. We're trying to blow through a lot.
And there's a lot that have weird letters at the beginning, like V's and
sure do
stuff. So
so this is J-O-O-R-A-H-M-A-A-R, which we got a couple doubles up on the vowels in this one, which would be, I guess, Jorhamar.
If it's Nordic, it may be Yor.
Jorhamar? It could be Jorhamar. Yeah, it could be.
Jorhamar?
Yeah, maybe Jorhamar. Either Jorhamar or Jorhamar. I like Jorhamar. That sounds better. Mm-hmm. But part of the Rage of Dragons that attacked elsewhere during the mid-second era attempted to bring about the New Moon Prophecy, killed on the island of Dragonhold by Abner Tharn and the Vestige in 2E580s, in the 580s, because everything supposedly takes place, I believe, in a single year of Elder Scrolls Online, so it's at some point in that.
Which is becoming more and more of a stretch.
Yeah, but as a result, he is slain, so no more Jorhamar.
No more Jorhamar. He's kind of a medium grayish blue color. It's kind of neat looking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Tell you what, let's do one more. And then, we have the translation?
Yeah. Yes. Good point. Hold on. Mortal Hunter Terror. That's a pretty good one, too.
Mortal Hunter Terror.
Ooh. Yeah. That sounds like a bad set of skills from Diablo or something.
I'm going to use this upgrade, Mortal Hunter Terror, plus 15% damage to mortals and makes them flee in terror. All right, one more and then we'll do our mid break. This one's Khalgron Teed. I can say that one because it shows up in the stories.
And they say it often.
Mm-hmm. Leader of Elsewhere's Rage of Dragons' goal was to bring about the New Moon Prophecy and become a god and equal to Akatosh while channeling the power of Aeon Stones on the island of Dragonhold. He was killed by the reformed Dragon Guard, and the power coursing through his body tore him asunder. I love the way that he puts this asunder. It's not slain. Status exploded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And Khalgron Teed means champion bind time. So cool. I guess not really the champion. Like he tried to be the champion.
Yeah. That's a B-tier champion at best in this situation. Mm-hmm.
And an attempt to become equal to Akatosh means like, the binding of time, like to take on time and bind, like contain it or steal it or become it, bind it to himself. You know, that name totally makes sense then. Again, parents should have paid more attention. Unless maybe the parents were hoping that their child would go off and challenge Akatosh.
Well, that's true.
Could be a thing.
You're going to make it. We're going to live vicariously through our dragon child.
Right. All right. Let's go to the middle of our show because we've got our patrons to thank.
The skies are marked with numberless sparks, each a fire and every one a sign.
Welcome to the middle of the show. I hope you guys are enjoying this fun little diversion into the names of dragons. And a special thank you to all of our patrons. You guys are amazing. I'm pulling up the names right now in order to thank you guys personally. We have 49 patrons as of this show. It would be amazing if we could hit 50 by the end of the month for our patron episode. And of our current patrons, we have three that get a call out this episode because they are tier 5 or higher. There is Sea Chaser, Noodle Al Dente, and our tier 6, I believe he's chosen Akatosh, not Lorcan, Pie Man. So Pie Man, thank you extremely much. You are amazing being a tier 6 patron. You can now control time, and you better watch out for these dragons because they're going to try and, you know, take you out and usurp your power. But I have a feeling you can handle it yourself. So
yeah, I was going to say, it seems like a pretty good power to have is be able to control time.
Yeah, yeah. So those three and five others might be joining us next week to join and talk about things on our patron episode. So I'm looking forward to that. We haven't nailed down a topic yet, but if you would like to suggest a topic, please let us know. And if you'd like to join us for that episode, check out patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast in order to sign up as a tier 4 or higher patron. You can join us at the end of the month. So as long as you do that before Thursday of next week, which is the last Thursday of the month, that is the 29th, then you will have the opportunity to join us this month. And if you can't do it this month and you want to join us next month, you're welcome to do that as well. And if you can't do that, then you want to help us out and get like ad-free episodes and early episodes and those kinds of things, then you can sign up at a lower tier. And if you can't do that, you can just show up and watch the live stream and, you know, hang out with us, or, you know, tell your friends, those kinds of things. We'd love to see you in here. And thank you so much for listening to the show. All right, let's move on with some more dragons.
All right, so everybody knows how VPN services and ExpressVPN can protect your privacy and security online, right? But did you know that there are some secret hidden benefits to using ExpressVPN, like unlocking movies and shows that are only available in other countries? So if you're like me, you probably enjoy watching shows on Netflix, for example. Well, with ExpressVPN, you can unlock the UK version of The Office, or Parasite from South Korean Netflix. Over 100 different countries. All you have to do is change your location and refresh Netflix or whatever, Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. In fact, when I set it up for myself, I was surprised at how easy it was. It just installs and then loads up and works. And it works on more than just PCs, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and so much more. So if you want to access hundreds of new shows, use my link right now, expressvpn.com/scrollslore, and you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/scrollslore. expressvpn.com/scrollslore to learn more.
Do you like adventure?
Yeah.
Do you like laughing?
Yeah.
Would you like to listen to a group of people you don't know play D&D and reference retro pop culture you vaguely remember? Excellent. You're going to love Committee Quest. We play D&D in the world of Amaran. We use adventure modules and supplements made by people in the community. We also have a sweet synthwave backing track. Come and join us on our adventure. Volume 1 has been completed. Volume 2 coming the end of January. You can find us on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Yes, yes, you're entirely brilliant. Conquering madness and all that. Blah, 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 blah.
All right, we're back. I think it's Lotus's turn.
It is. Just as a update along the way, we are currently at 7 dragons with at least a double vowel and 2 that do not, just as the running tally going. So with that being said, we'll add another one to the double vowel list with K-R-A-H-J-O-T-D-A-A-N or Krajotan. I would.
Yeah.
Krajotan?
Crotch Jot Dan.
Crotch Jot Dan. Beautiful.
Crotch
so eloquent.
Crotch it done. It almost sounds like, ooh, damn it, man.
Done. All right.
Yeah.
So, We'll go with Krajitan. That's fine. Krajitan was killed by the Dragon Guard in Cyrodiil of the First Era 2871. So way back there.
Yeah.
And Status is obviously slain because he was killed. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the UESP has a little bit more. The name means Cold Maw Doom, and not Maw like Maw. Well, I gotta go bring the cows in.
Like
no.
Maw, like a mouth.
Like a gaping maw. Yeah. So Cold Maw Doom. So like he was basically named after like a cold cave of doom, I guess. And it's but it makes sense. The southern Ural Mountains in Cyrodiil is where he was slain, so probably cold. When it happened, I don't know. The dragon's name was supposedly confirmed to the Dragon Guard by his own account. A fang was taken from his corpse and inscribed to depict his defeat. His death was later documented by the Blades in the Second Era 373. Due to the nature of dragons, Krajitan may not be truly dead and therefore could rise again. Dun, dun, dun. And there's a picture of Krajitan's fang here on the UESP article. I'm guessing this is an item you come across in what was Second Era 373? Would that be like Daggerfall or something?
No, that'd be later. That'd be
it's the second
farther on.
Yeah, that's weird. I'm wondering why that date. That's when the Atlas of Dragons was written. But yeah, it's not a specific game. So I'm wondering what this item is, because there's not like a link to it or anything. But it seems that there's an item somewhere in the games called Krajitan's Fang.
Yeah, what did you say the date was?
The Second Era 373.
So that's pre-Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah, that's early. So
yeah, I mean,
it could be an item that's floating around in any of the games, but I can't find anything about where this is.
Right, maybe it just they
there's
put
a picture
a date
of it
on it.
There's a picture of
so
it
so that it could exist in another game, and it's just that's when it was first seen or something.
Yeah, but why would there be a picture of it? Like it looks like an icon it looks like a flat icon that you would see in
Daggerfall.
Yeah, something older. I don't know.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. Weird. Okay.
I don't have an answer to that.
Krajitan. Yeah, and again, his name means Cold Maw Doom. So interesting. All right, you're up. Your turn.
Oh, boy.
Good luck.
What are we up to next? All right. So our next dragon will be Krosulhah.
Krosulhah. That sounds like an ancient god.
Yeah.
Beware Cthulhu and Krosulhah.
Yes, Krosulhah sounds good. And roamed Solstheim in the Fourth Era 201, attacked the last Dragonborn as they exited Apocrypha and was slain. So I love the status details to this one that they put was status slain and soul consumed. So these ones are just eaten pretty much by the Dragonborn, which we'll start getting into as these ones are a little more specifically obliterated. So
yeah, this is a Skyrim dragon.
Skyrim dragon that is no longer with us, but does empower your shouts.
Yeah, there's a detail on the fandom.com forum wiki that says combat. Before engaging in combat, he will give a warning that Mirak is becoming stronger and has demanded the Dragonborn's death. After defeating him, there's a chance that Mirak will appear and take his soul. Cool. Cool. I don't remember that. I'm going to have to play through this again in order to remember that happening. It is kind of like a brownish gray color with like light tan wings.
For a while, that becomes a thing in the Dragonborn expansion once it's triggered and you've dealt with Mirak.
Yeah.
When you kill a dragon, Mirak can just swoop in and steal your soul, which is very frustrating when you're trying to level something up.
Yeah, I just don't remember. I've only played through that expansion one time, whereas I played through a ton of other stuff in Skyrim multiple times. I only did that expansion once.
Sure, sure.
But so I don't have to go back and play it again. Don't remember it. So, do we have a translation for him? Where's our translator? Our translator left.
Yeah, they had to leave. Hold on.
I've got it somewhere. Krosuha. Here we go. Sorcerer de Mind.
Hmm.
Hmm. Don't know what that means.
Nope.
I don't have any thoughts on that one.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of input. That's sure.
All right. Next up, we have Kruzii, double vowel again. Oh, wait. Krosuha didn't have a double vowel. That's
didn't
interesting.
Have one. Yeah. Rare second category of the third dragon without a double.
Yeah, yeah. So Kruzii, Kruzikrel? Kruzikrel. Slain by Mirak during his fight with the last dragonborn in Apocrypha.
Yes.
Ooh. Slain and soul consumed. So this one's in Apocrypha. That's pretty fun.
Yes. This is, if I remember correctly, this is during the final fight. And it's one of the ones Mirak uses to power up, which you can't steal from him, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of the ones he wails on to get stronger.
Yeah, there's an image here on one of the sites of him looking all glowy and golden.
Mm-hmm. Up on top of the arch.
Yep, yep. Yeah, found during the battle with Mirak atop the summit of Apocrypha. So.
Yep. His name is Ancient Dominate, apparently.
Ancient Dominate. That's a pretty good name. That's pretty good. That's kind of like Optimus Prime. You know, like it's just like two awesome words put together.
So our next one is Lotvulan, which is from the Elder Scrolls Online. The Black Beast was fought by both the Dragonborn and Kunzari throughout time. Ravaged Southern elsewhere, along with the New Moon Cult, killed by the Reformed Dragon Guard in Doomstone Keep in Southern elsewhere in the second era of the 580s. And status is slain for Lotvulan. Lotvulan is a boss fight in the Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah, he's the ancient enemy of Nafalar.
Yes.
Which is a cool name, too. And he's black. This is a black dragon.
Dark.
Big, like, tusks that come off of his head. He's cool looking. He looks like a boss fight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. All right. So Lotvulan is... I'm looking up the... I don't see a translation for him.
I don't see a translation for Lotvulan.
Yeah, I don't see one either. Interesting. Lotvulan. Well, if you know...
His name translates to Last Dark Spirit, or the Final Night, or Last Night.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, he's like there a dark is. Green. Like, in lighting, the, very, like his underside yeah. and like the thin part dark. Of his wings are like a really dark green tinge.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty cool. Man, the designs of these dragons are so cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next one on the list. Lodunost. Lodunost. This one, only ever spoken of on an ancient word wall in Skyrim, said to have killed a king. So this one, very little is known about. This is an ancient dragon with not a whole lot of other detail. Yeah,
not a lot there, but only one vowel.
Only one vowel written about on a wall. And that could mean that they're still alive or have were slain and just never heard of again.
Yep.
Lodunost. I don't know if we have a translation for that one either. Some of these aren't going to have readily available translations. And I looked it up earlier. The translator for the like dragon language is offline for some reason today.
Oh man. Yeah. That's what I was going to have to do because I can't find a direct link to it.
Yep. Yep. So, just like if anybody, oh wait, thume.org. There's another one. Nope. That's the one that I looked at before.
Yeah. That's the same thing I was trying to use because it doesn't seem to have a direct. Well, if you find one, great.
If you let us know, if you find one, just send us a note.
Yeah, I was going to say, or if you know what Lodunost meaning is, let us know, because we don't have access to that at the moment, because we can't use the dragon language translator for some reason.
if you're not a patron and you don't hear our pre-show banter, because the patrons get the extended version of the episode, we were talking about the Might and Magic games, which were like these 90s games similar to the original Elder Scrolls games. And we were joking about doing a Might and Magic lore cast and the 11 people that would potentially listen to that. Well, I feel like those same 11 people would know exactly what Lodunost means. It's like memorized. Probably. Like they can speak Thune, right?
All right.
Next up.
Let's see, where are we going? We are going to Locestes, which Locestes took control of the Khajiit Temple of Sunspire in an attempt to masquerade as Khajiit religious figures, but was killed when reclaiming the temple. So the status is slain. This is one of the bosses of the trial in Elder Scrolls Online, the Sunspire trial, for anybody who's interested. That would be Locestes.
Locestes. I can't find the translation for that one either. But this one is a really cool looking white and almost pinkish color.
Yes.
So many of these dragons, you'll notice, have kind of a main color on like the thicker parts of their body, the scales, their arms, their faces. But then like the thinner places, the places where the scales are a little bit more thinner, the art design on them is really cool because it creates a look that makes it seem as if you can see maybe the weaker, fleshier parts of them, or where maybe the scales are thinner and smaller. So those parts of the body, like the parts between the wings, and the underbelly, places like that, have kind of a different color to them many times. And this one has almost a pinkish hue.
And then the main body is whitish blue, kind of like snow, because Locestes is an ice dragon, essentially.
Well, there you go.
And the name translates to sky, tempest, ice. So strengthening the ice concept. And the area that you fight Locestes in is surrounded by ice and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. The other cool detail about it is on the horns and things on the head, they turn into like a dark gray. So there's kind of this transition of color.
Yes. Also, update from Nico is it means king killer for the other one, the previous one that we could not translate. Translation for us.
Lodunost. It just means king killer. Interesting. Yep. Because that's all we know about them.
Right.
Well, there
much
you go.
Appreciated.
thank you.
Thank you, Nico.
All right. Next on the list, this one may sound familiar, Marsalok. Marselok lived in the mountains between Elsewhere and Valenwood, began to corrupt the forest of Valenwood. Valenwood, I always go back and forth with a blight. An army detached from the city of Eldenroot failed to destroy him and his legion of blight infected creatures. Killed by a group sent by King Cameron in the second era 580s with the help of the forest spirit Selene. Status slain. Marsalok. That's a good one.
If you play Elder Scrolls Online, definitely recommend doing that dungeon. It was from the it's in Elder Scrolls Online, and it's kind of a follow-up to Selene's Web, which is actually a base game dungeon. This was a DLC dungeon, so pretty cool, because Selene has popped up in many a game all the way back to Arena. So yep, she's got an interesting tie-in to that storyline.
Yep, yeah, there's the Lair of Marsalok. This is part of the Scalebreaker DLC.
Yep.
There's Undaunted quests and things for this. And there's items. So there's the head and the shoulders, because it shows up in ESO. And it looks really cool. Like, this is a cool-looking set. It looks like heavy armor, right? It's got, like, the slotted, I don't know, part over the eyes. I don't know how to describe armor for a podcast. I don't think this is something I've ever really tried before, but it looks like kind of like a dragon. Like, these look like they were built out of dragon scales and things like that. And they've got kind of a gray and blue coloring. So pretty cool looking set. All right. Next one's a big one too.
Hold on one second. I was actually looking up a translation for Marsalok.
Marsalok.
That's the set. I don't want the set for Marsalok. I don't. That's not what I want.
I don't see the translation on this page. There's some pages that just list some of them with translations.
Yeah. His name means Terror of Sky.
Terror of Sky.
Terror of Sky. That's apparently Marsalok.
Right. He just likes to fly around and scare people.
Yeah, he flies. He doesn't even fly that much. He's kind of bumbles around in there.
He's a bumbling dragon.
Yeah, a little bit. So the next dragon is M-I-R, M-U-L-N-I-R. So no double vowels this time. And it would be Mjolnir. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say you could do Mjolnir or Mjolnir.
Mjolnir. Yeah. I've always said Mjolnir. This is all right. If you've played any Mjolnir? Skyrim of the any part of the main quest in Skyrim, you will have recognized this guy.
Yes. Came out of hiding in the Fourth Era 201 to serve Alduin, attacked Whiterun Hold, causing casualties among the guard, and was killed by a group of Whiterun City guardsmen and the last Dragonborn, status slain and consumed. If I'm not wrong, that's the one you eat first, right?
Yeah.
At the watchtower.
You like when you consume a soul, you're eating the dragon.
Just eating the dragon.
Nom nom. Nope. Yummy yummy yep. Dragon.
Delicious.
Yeah, he's the first one.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the one you fight at the watchtower. High in fiber.
Yep, yep. And just remind anybody who hasn't played Skyrim in a while, you play through the main quest line, you get to Whiterun, and you talk to the Jarl there. And there's all of a sudden like, oh no, this is after you get back from going to using the dragon claw to go to the what's it called? Bleak Falls Barrow. And you come back and then they're like, ah, sir, there's just sightings of a dragon, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, go to the, and then you go with the guards and you fight the dragon at the tower. This is the first one you see other than, at the very beginning of the game.
Right.
So Mjolnir, this one's similar, this next one. Mjolnir. Mjolnir. Second in command. Mjolnir. Mjolnir.
Alright, we'll split the difference.
Mjolnir.
Beautiful.
Mjolnir. I'm gonna go with that. Mjolnir is the second in command of Khal Gran Tied. Killed many in the Elsewhere Defense Force, forced his way into Jode's Core, where he was slain by the Vestige while attempting to help his master gain power, status slain. So this is another one of the Elder Scrolls Online dragons during that storyline. And he's kind of like a blue, he's kind of a pretty guy. He's got this like brown tan underbelly and variations of blue, almost like a brew, like an aqua blue and kind of a darker blue on some of the like the main scales with some like shiny light blue.
Yep.
It almost looks like what's it called when you have like a car and it has paint and you can like see it from an angle and it changes color?
Opalescent.
Yeah, it's almost got like an opalescent quality to his scales.
Yeah, actually now that you say it, yeah, I think I would agree with that.
So very pretty dragon for being so evil.
Let's see, where did you okay, so we got one more and then we get a great one, and man, the pronunciations on that one.
So I'm sorry, I we got the translation here too. Allegiance strong hunt.
Okay, fair enough. The allegiance thing I definitely understand, but with his being second in command to Khal Gran Tied and such, so so the next one is Nahagliv or Nahagliv.
Nahagliv.
Nahagliv. Ooh, I like Nahagliv. That sounds much better. That's very eloquent.
Nah, let the hag live.
All right.
That's it.
Beautiful.
Nailed it.
Nahagliv was resurrected by Alduin in the Fourth Era, 201, slain by the last Dragonborn while threatening the village of Rorikstead in the same year, slain and eaten. So another situation where killed by the Dragonborn and soul was consumed. So
this is really interesting because it is a dragon that depending on the level that you are at when you run into it in Skyrim can change appearance. And may also have different abilities. Like it might have fire breath. It might have frost breath. It's completely variable, which is weird. I get from a gameplay perspective, they're like, yeah, if you're high enough level, then it comes out like this instead because it matches the gameplay aspect. But there's not like a canon version as far as I can tell. So interesting.
I never realized that.
Yeah. Nahagliv. Nah, let the hog live. The hag live? I can't find a translation for this one either. So we'll move on. You can keep looking that one up. Yep, next on the list, a double name. This one has two different variations on the name. There's NAHFAHLAAR, so double A's, or NAFAALILARGUS, so Nafalar or Nafalilargus.
Or, as I put it so eloquently on the other podcast that I do, which had the community very displeased with pronunciations for a very long time, was Nafalalargus.
Nafalalargus.
And I just had no way to spell it, so, or no way to know how to say it. So I would just call it that every single time, to the dismay of pretty much everybody on the lore team, I assume, as I ruined everything.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
I'm sure
they'd be very happy with this.
By the way, for Nahagliv, is fire burn wither.
Ooh, which is so weird that it can have ice breath.
Yep, apparently it should be.
It should be a fire dragon, but I guess it can change. Weird. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Nafalar or Nafalalargus is a large red dragon known to aid/request aid from mortals. An enemy of Latvulon aided the reformed Dragon Guard against the Rage of Dragons in the mid-second era, eventually came to serve the Third Empire, but was killed by Cyrus the Red Guard during that time. Slain. So there you go. Now, why did this come up a lot in the other show? Was there something specific?
Yes. There were a couple reasons. To go way, way back, we did, much like we actually did on this show, prior to the Elsewhere expansion, because Tales of Tamriel has been going since the dawn of time, we had a predictions show, and we had inklings that there would be dragons. So we went on a speculation cast prior to Elsewhere's launch, guessing which dragons could possibly exist, because there were so few known at the time. And I made a reference point to Nafalalargus from the Elder Scrolls Redguard, because I have begrudgingly played through Elder Scrolls Redguard, and you fight him and he looks ridiculous, and he's just got this derpy little like pear-shaped body, and you just smoke him in that game. And I said he would theoretically still be alive at this time. Maybe it's old Naffy. And
old Naffy.
I got 1 billion internet points, because it turned out old Naffy was one of the dragons that actually was in Elsewhere. Uh-huh. People thought that I knew what I was talking about, rather than just throwing things at the wall that I had any experience with. And I just happened to get that one right. So
awesome.
That was why. Yeah, that's why we ended up discussing old Naffy. Well, we'll just call him Naffy, or Dragon Dad, as T the Khajiit from the community likes to call him.
Dragon Dad. Yeah. And he leveled up since the time of the Redguard game, because
he looks much cooler and sounds much better in Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
In Elder Scrolls Online than he ever does in Redguard. He's ridiculous looking in Redguard, and he's so lame. It's so lame.
Yeah, I can see the pictures here. All, you know, like the textures that are all like super blurry and pixelated.
Yeah, he dies like a total chump. I just hit under his wing and just hit the same attack animation. He just goes and eventually he died. It was
That's great.
Yeah, it was not good.
Yeah, well, he doesn't look all that interesting in that one, because he's all of 12 polygons. But in
he ESO, looks awesome in Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah, he's got like a dark reddish hue. I mean, he's very much a red dragon. Like when you think red dragon, this is a red dragon with bone colored talons at the end of his wings and spikes and things sticking off his head and his neck and even his belly, like his underbelly. Like, this is one of those things that you would think would be more common on dragons, because they are so large and they can like swoop down and land on things or swoop down at things. Like these talons like hang off their ribs almost, would make sense, because you wouldn't want to be underneath one of these guys as they swoop down on you. Even if they missed you with their claws, like, those things could get you.
Yep. He's actually got a few things of note. Did we mention that he was influential at the Battle of Hunding Bay?
No, we didn't bring that up.
Okay, so this is from Elder Scrolls Redguard. I mean, he kind of made reference to the fact that he's in both ESO and Elder Scrolls Redguard. But he's influential in the Battle of Hunding's Bay. This is just a quick excerpt. I'm not going to read just the entire thing from the UESP, but he is one of, I guess his quote is, "I am Tiber Septim's proud soldier, a loyal vassal, a jewel of the crown. It's not my fault. I have to keep company with the governor." So there, the governor that's in reference is this fat, pompous dude in Elder Scrolls Redguard, who is very frustrating to listen to, but you'll find him in the basement of the keep there. But the Elder Scrolls Adventures Redguard starts off with basically the Battle of Hunding Bay and Naphalargus just running house on any of Tiber Septim's adversaries in the bay. So he doesn't really take crap from people in that game, which is why it's interesting that you can take him out so easy. And actually, best way from Nikamata in chat, he's basically, yes, he's a dragon bounty hunter. He went to the highest bidder.
Dragon, like, the bounty hunter.
Dragon the bounty hunter. Yeah. So he's helpful in one game, which is, since I had played Elder Scrolls Redguard before he showed up in ESO, a lot of people had an attachment to him that I did not, which was interesting at the time because he's very helpful to the player character in Elder Scrolls Online. He's very likable. He tries to atone for kind of like some of his misgivings in the past, and he's very relatable into that game, and he's a really cool character. However, I recognized him first from Redguard, and I was like, he's a jackass.
He matured. He was like a teenager dragon.
And yeah, so he definitely had a pretty substantial fall from grace if you look at him in time periods.
Well, I guess it would be the opposite way, right?
But, right, yeah. Right. So yeah, he degraded quite a bit.
Oh no, poor guy.
Yep. The other thing, I guess Naffy's a little more involved than a few of the other dragons. There is a note on the UESP because this one is a little different. Depending upon how the syllables of Naphalar are broken up, his name can spell out two words in the dragon language, apparently. Mm. It's noted that first it can be broken up as Na meaning fury and Fa meaning four. If broken up differently, it can be Na for fury and Ar for meaning servant.
That seems to make more sense.
Yeah, which I would agree. The second one seems like it makes more sense to me as well.
Yeah.
The first variant leaves Lar, while the second variant leaves Fal as the remaining syllables. So there's no direct translation.
The longer name is what you're trying to say. The Naphalargus doesn't really translate well to much of anything.
To much of anything, exactly. Yeah. So his name is a little more unique than some of the other ones. And it's referenced that maybe it's just a Cyrodiilic or imperialized version of his real name, which would explain why it doesn't have any direct translation, especially since he's working with the Empire around the time that is his name, as opposed to in Elder Scrolls Online, where it's Naphalar.
That would make sense. It also has that kind of Latin-esque ending.
Exactly.
The Argus end, which is kind of more Cyrodiilic, more of Imperial.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. And he's also one of the few dragons who turned out to be good, or at least helpful towards the peoples of Tamriel, as opposed to
even if it didn't coincide with you in the Elder Scrolls Adventures.
Right. Interesting. Well, I think that's probably a good place to
cut it
because we're about halfway through the list, and that one is particularly substantial with some information. So we'll come back to this maybe at some point next month. We're going to be back next week with our patrons. And again, if there's something you guys want to talk about specifically, let us know. And we can always throw out some topic ideas for you. But if there's something that you want to discuss, especially now that we're almost a month away from, man, time is moving from the new ESO content. There's a lot coming out. So there's a lot of cool stuff we could be talking about on next week's episode. And then we'll be back after that with more of the Divines.
Actually, the following week we'd have Rich Lambert.
Oh yeah, and then we've got Rich Lambert 2 weeks from now. That's right. Yeah. You're right. We have Rich Lambert interview. Man, so much going on.
The only thing I actually want to do just before we close up, for the sake of referencing, for anybody who's interested in the document we're talking about today, it's from the Reddit. It's the TES lore subreddit, and it looks like the person who
I mentioned this at the beginning. Yeah, Signal Flare.
Okay, sorry.
Signal Flare 12.
Signal Flare 12. Yeah, yep. I was going to say, this is great. The more I get into this, the more I enjoy this. So awesome work, Signal Flare. This is awesome.
Yeah. This subreddit, of course, just like anything on the internet, it's kind of a mix of stuff. Half the time, it's stuff like this, and I'm like, oh, this is a really fun post. And the other half of the time, it's stuff like, so I've come to the conclusion that there's a reason there are no bathrooms in Elder Scrolls games. Like, it's like, come on.
One extreme or another.
Yeah, it's like, because it's a gameplay thing and adding bathrooms to all the rooms would have taken more manpower. That's why there's not a lore reason why there's no bathrooms. Give me a break. You know, like, but come on.
No, this is fascinating. I love this. So.
Yeah, no, that's good. Maybe there is a lore reason why there's no bathrooms. Well, no, but that's just the thing, though. Like, people like to speculate about the stuff that isn't covered, but then they wonder why there isn't information about it. And it's like, well, of course there's no information about it, because it's not an important point. It's like,
right, yeah, it's shockingly irrelevant.
Right. That's amazing. It's amazing how irrelevant the bathroom question was, you know? Like, this does not lend itself to any stories or any events in the game. So, surprise. Right. But anyway. So, Lotus, do you have anything cool to share before we head out?
Not too much. I was going to say I'll be recording Tales of Tamriel on Saturday with Hyperpixie Games and Arkaneer over at Arkaneer's Quest at the Dungeon Crawler Network at 11 p.m. Eastern. And then on Sunday, I will be streaming The Elder Scrolls Online, hopefully starting around 2 p.m. Eastern. And we will be giving away a copy of Blackwood, which is the new Elder Scrolls Online expansion that we just referenced, for the Xbox. So if you want to have a chance to win that, all you got to do is be in chat. Personally, it doesn't matter. You don't need to follow me or any of that stuff. You're just going to be there during the stream and type in Blackwood during the stream and you'll be in the thing and I'll do a giveaway and somebody can win a copy of the expansion for Xbox.
Well, there you go. Awesome. And also, you know what? A big shout out to a returning podcast. And I owe them the favor because the Lore Seekers podcast is back.
Yes.
They've decided to return back to Tamriel. And
they have.
They were actually just doing their episode a little bit earlier. I caught part of it. And big welcome back to them. They gave my show a big welcome 2 years ago when I launched it and they were already in this space. So just wanted to say a big welcome to those guys. It's been a while. I'm glad you guys finally, you know, decided to come back and join us. The community is still here. You're still very much welcome. And I hope to see you guys in game sometime. It would be fun to go through a dungeon again together or something like that. So
clearly they saw the light and returned to the correct game.
They returned to the correct game. So Jibs and Cash are back. If you're not aware of this yet, go check it out. I'm sure they will have a new episode, or they already have a new episode up or something.
Yep, they've got one up.
They
have the return up return episode up already. Yep.
So you can go check that out. Let's see, what am I doing? I've got my regular game streams and all the shows on the network and the Robots Radio Rocket Club, and I'm doing another new thing. I'm always trying out new stuff. In the middle of the day at noon Eastern every day, I'm doing a quick stream / podcast about all the recent gaming news of the last 24 hours. And this is something I'm going to do every weekday. And it turns into a 15 or 20 minute quick little podcast episode. And it's called The Robots Radio Show. That's it. The Robots Radio Show. You can tune into it on whatever podcatcher you want. It should be on Apple Podcasts at this point. Apple Podcasts is a little bit funny, so please have patience if it's not. It's definitely on Spotify and some of the others. So go look it up. The Robots Radio Show if you want really quick updates on like the most awesome gaming news with a little bit more focus on some of the stuff I like Elder Scrolls and RPGs and those kinds of things. But it's kind of a quick download of just like bunch of detail, you know, like the biggest highlights in the last 24 hours. And then because it's a live stream, the extended version happens on my Twitch channel. So twitch.tv/robotsradio, and any of the other hosts on any of the other shows, the Robots Radio shows, the Rocket Club shows, are able to come join me, and they're going to come by the stream and we're going to talk about just some of the recent updates. Like in today's episode, we talked about the KOTOR remake. Knights of the Old Republic is getting a remake. Did you hear about this, Lotus?
I did not, but I love Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah. So
I'm not even a huge Star Wars person, but that game is phenomenal.
Yeah. So we speculated a little bit about what they might be doing, but it's not a like up-resed version of the original. It seems like they're actually doing a full-fledged remake.
Combat system's probably...
Yeah.
Of that.
Yeah, the combat systems. I have feeling some of the dialogue. There's probably some voice lines that most of the voice lines need to actually be acted at this point. You know, like all of that stuff. So so looking forward to that. That's going to be a fun thing to jump back into. So come join me for that stuff.
Instead of an RSS feed, you have an RRS feed is what I'm getting out of this.
Yeah. Robots Radio Show. Yeah. It's an RSS feed for the RRS show. Yes, very much so.
That's beautiful. So much branding.
Yeah. But I figured it was kind of a fun thing to do as like another reason to like hang out with people during the middle of the day and chat with you guys in chat. I'd love to hear your thoughts about some of the news articles. We're also talked about the new Diablo game. The mobile Diablo game got such a bad response when they debuted it. Do you remember this at BlizzCon like 2 years ago?
Don't you guys have phones?
Yeah, right. It was so, the response was so bad. And then since then, they've been doing these alpha tests in Australia. And the new, like the perception of this are completely flipped. And then today they announced another game mode that's going to be part of it and how they're testing that out. And so it seems like it's actually packed full of content, which makes this really interesting, especially with modern phones and tablets being able to hook up to your like Bluetooth controllers. Like,
sure,
you might be able to play this just like a regular game and not even have to worry about like the touchscreen stuff. So if that's the case and it's actually got some legit lore, which it also seems like it does, then maybe this is our next Diablo game before we knew we were going to have another Diablo game. So who knows? Could be really cool.
Very soft spot for Diablo.
Yeah. I love all this stuff. So it's kind of fun to talk about all the things that I don't get to talk about on these other shows, but then also some of the things I get to talk about on these other shows. So just give me more time to hang out with you guys too. So come hang out with me. I'll see you guys every day around noon Eastern. And until next time, stay safe out there. Try not to summon any dragons back to life because, you know, that usually doesn't work very well unless you're Molek Ball. And then I guess that works out great. So we'll see you guys next week. Talk to you later. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. If you have something you'd like to contribute to the show, please reach out to us at elderscrollslorecast@gmail.com or on Twitter at @ESOLorecast. I really appreciate you listening, and I'd love to hear from you soon.
You've been listening to the Robots Radio Podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.
Are you into the cyberpunk tabletop games or excited for Cyberpunk 2077? Are you looking to brush up on the lore, stay up on all the latest news, and talk about the game when it comes out? Check out the Cyberpunk Lorecast, a show from Robots Radio with me, your host, Robots. We'll go over all the details you need to know about the world, characters, and story of Cyberpunk. Available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey there, my name's Jameson, or Big Cat.
And I am Brenna, or Mother Goose.
And together, we are the hosts of the DL, Weekly Gaming News.
Each week, we bring you the top stories from last week, as well as something you might have missed.
Our goal is to start a conversation about what's going on in the world of gaming.
And every week, we have a special guest join us in the chat room, where we discuss a different gaming-related topic and learn more about our guests and the 60-second download.
And if that isn't enough, we also have Slim Jims.
So come and hang out with us every week and join in on the conversation.
Good luck and have fun, everybody.
And remember, keep your goose loose.
Hello, gentle listener. Every Friday, be sure to tune in.
What the hell are you doing, Ampersand?
Hi, Charlie. I'm sorry I broke in.
I thought I was the only one to talk to myself.
Well, I'm letting everyone know about
the Fumbling Four and the Almighty Crit.
Woo-hoo!
It's a 5e live play podcast. Join us every week.
Where do we find it, you old crusty coot?
Anywhere you can get all your podcasts.
Woo-hoo!
You find it every Friday, you stupid cat!